curl out. Oh, yes, sir.
Jeff, I had a question. The early pace in a route is the second, the three quarters call, the 1-10-2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you take Madison Navajo, is just the rough one. At a 1-10-2 with 6.5, 6.25 lanes, compare that to Trento at a 1-11-2, he's only a length off.
You're missing a fundamental point. And that fundamental point is over on the right-hand side where it says 90-10. The track was about 8 lengths faster.
And that's it, the fact that it's at Golden Gate. And one of the things you just have to know is on your circuit, we can't teach it to you. You just have to know the tracks around on your circuit, the ones that chip in. And Golden, you know, you see horses coming back and forth, shuttling back and forth between Northern and Southern California all the time. And you should be aware of how Golden Gate runs and what its record is. And this horse ran a tremendous race against a rather mediocre field. When a $25,000 horse can run only, you know, 2 seconds off the track record, you got to figure it was a quick day. And you have to know the Golden Gate's a very, very quick little track. They scurry around up there. So as I said, I did use this line, but in retrospect, I think it would probably be a better decision. Certainly, if you're handicapping this with, say, after the seventh race, it would be a much better decision to leave the horse out.
I put the horse in by the second track because even though it's a good track, it looks like a representative race, and the very end is nowhere near the extreme of the 90.
Okay, that might be a good solution. The outcome is it's not going to matter. But I don't think you can go too far wrong on this horse, because no matter what line you use, as long as you stick to one of the last two, the horse doesn't come up. And there are, I think the last two are perfectly representative. If you feel more comfortable going back one, that's fine. Curl out.
Scratch.
How come?
You didn't go out of the five and show anything.
This horse is dropping severely in class, right?
Yeah. Possible second.
I mean, it's gone from 11
once to 32 to 20.
It's got no form.
Gain 3 lengths
in the stretch. How can you say it doesn't respond?
I'm sorry.
I couldn't do that to you. I threw it out. Yes. Yes. Okay. But the point I want to make is because a lot of people, boy, this is a much better group. I have to play devil's advocate up here more. A lot of people thought this horse is dropping in class, and it is not. This horse is not dropping. This horse is looking, and lightly raced horses, although this one is not particularly lightly raced, but it obviously took 12 races to win a maiden race. This horse is looking for its right class and hasn't found it yet. The 70 APV is a tip-off, or the low class number is a tip-off. This horse is not dropping in class. When you have a maiden winner, the average trainer puts it right into a non-winner's because he wants to protect his owner's investment. Nothing embarrasses a trainer more than to put a horse in at $20,000, have it claimed, and have it go on to win $40,000 and $50,000 claiming races. Oh, the trainers just hate that. Ooh, it makes them look dumb, makes them look bad. And so they'd rather enter the horse way over its head, maybe ruin the horse, than look dumb. Which of course makes them look dumb, but what can I say? They tried it 3 times, and it just got its head handed to it at Alance. They tried it on the turf. They tried it a little shorter. They tried it a little longer. They tried it every different way, and this horse just didn't respond. So they drop it in the claiming at about the same, at roughly the same level of non-winners won, just a little taste down. And you can tell that from your part-time charts. 32 and non-winners won is roughly comparable. Now they're dropping it 2 levels, Somebody has whispered in the trainer's ear, I want to win a purse. And I suspect that next time we see curl out, it'll be for 16. Because, you know, it's just not, doesn't fit yet. Okay, so out she goes. Convincing.
Why?
Last race, mile and a half. Okay, let's just throw that
out. 85.
There. Right. And then it was one second race back at the class.
At the class? At the distance? At the track?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is a note that you want to make to yourself. You'll notice that I use that line. But notice the second back. Yeah. Notice that there is a trouble line. Broke slowly, wide in the stretch.
One anyway.
So I use the line. But what I want you to note is, now the wide in the stretch obviously didn't hurt the horse much, but it does give it sort of an excuse for that eight back. And but the broke slowly, just sort of run your eye down the beaten lengths at the first call for this horse, and it's all of his past performances, and you'll notice that 6.5s are much more common than 12s. So one of the things you can make a little note, I don't play with these numbers, I put the 12 in, but one of the things I will make a little note of is that I expect this horse to do a little better early. Simply because it probably won't break slowly. It only has one, it's not a sharp breaking horse, but I don't think it's going to be quite that bad this time. It can run 6 and 8 lengths off a 46-1, and this time it just didn't. Yes?
What is run in divisions?
What is what?
Run in divisions.
Where do you see that?
It's split of the same race.
Okay. Yeah. In other words, you have a race, a stakes race, and they have 22 entries. Well, they can't put 22 horses on the track. It's just not wide enough. So they just say, okay, half of them go here, half of them go there, and we'll make it two races. It really has very little significance otherwise. But the racing form has a lot of stuff in here that has very little significance.
Aren't the fields perhaps a bit weaker? Taking the bottom 12 and throwing them out and just running one race?
Well,
if they...
Depends on the draw.
Depends on the draw. And it also depends... You see, they're going to put all 22 in a hat and pull them out if they're all legitimate entries. Unless it's an invitational handicap or something like that, then it's just sort of how they come out of the hat. A lot of noise? Oh.
So with that information there, looking at, suspecting it should do better, what would you do with that? Would you run it twice?
No.
You wouldn't create anything on it?
No.
As I said, I'm not comfortable doing that. I simply make a note to myself that I expect an improvement. And so if the horse looks competitive in everything else but first fraction, I'll say, well, okay, I'll accept it. But I want to look at this line. I'm not comfortable with fooling with these things, mainly because you can fiddle and fiddle and fiddle and fiddle and invent a line on practically every horse. Jim Quinn makes the point that we make too many excuses for our horses. You should make one major excuse a week, not a race. And going by that race, I mean, the horse, it's a today's class and the horse won. Maybe it needs to be 12 back. If you go back, you can find other races at today's class and distance and that it doesn't stumble and it doesn't win. So maybe this is more accurate. We're trying to find the winner.
More accurate
or
less accurate?
I
don't know. No, but I can figure maybe that's his best running pattern.
The pattern
is going to
repeat.
As I said, I am
making a note that I expect an improvement.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. If look at convincing, count down one, two, look at the stretch call on this horse. And count down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 races. And now look at the numbers of beaten lengths in all 8 of those races. That's a horrible horse for you to be betting. That's horrible. I mean, if you want to make that second race back 8 instead of 12 beaten lengths in the first fraction, be my guest. But just be aware that the stretch call, this horse is out of touch almost every time, unless everybody just collapses in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
back as turning one because I thought it was more representative.
No, except then you're sticking with 6.5 feet lengths at 16,000. I think you're locked into the race that Dick chose.
Yeah. If you want him as a contender, again, this is a horse that's probably not a contender under today's conditions. And I'm handicapping, as you all are, every day, really and truly blind. I have no idea that the track was going to change, and I expect a slight sustained bias to be a good thing. Well, this horse is a pretty serious sustained bias. Makes Master Navajo look a little early. So, we're trying to find contenders here that have a chance, and in this case, it's win or place. And I feel convincing is a legitimate contender. A lot of noise.
Well, you have me a little worried.
Has you a little worried?
Why does it have you a little worried?
Well, when I just look at it,
let the ladies speak.
When I look at its last two races, I just see it has some good early traction, but it's set a longer distance. And it's also an allowance race. And then when I look at the race after that, it broke slowly. And when I jump down and see that its maiden race, that it won there, I just kind of wonder if the conditions are right, what it can do, since when I just look at all those different things, I just look at those two attractions and I just
That's wonder. A very good
analysis of that horse. And you're very right to wonder. This is not an automatic throwout. It is, I think, a throwout, but it's not an automatic job. Yes, ma'am.
The last two
races were definitely on the turf, and they were at distances. And if you're real familiar with reading the racing form, you would know that the second call is not given on either of those races. What we consider in the Sarton methodology, the second call is not there. That's a one-mile call, because those are very long turf races. Also, long turf races, and the reason that we don't use them, we don't handicap them, is because they tend to be strategic affairs. The jockeys tend to jockey for position for the first mile or so, and then everyone says, giddy up. That's just the tendency for turf races, particularly mile and a half, which is about as long as you'll ever see in the United States.
This horse has me worried, but the main reason I wouldn't use it is just that I don't see a pace line other than
By the way, that's a very good way. If you look at a horse and you say, this horse has me worried, something about this horse, and you can't find a pace line that is usable, then you don't have a contender. The only one that's even remotely usable is back almost a year. It's a wire-to-wire maiden 28 at Hollywood Park. And, it's not quite a wire-to-wire, but it's close.
I feel that horse is still looking for its proper level.
Probably. It's doing a little chopping. If anything, it's also looking for its proper racing surface. Again, it's a very lightly raced horse. They have obviously made their decision now that the horse doesn't belong in allowance. They stepped it back up to allowance to try it on the grass. There aren't many claiming races, aren't many claiming 32s run at long distances on the grass, so they may have been forced into allowance. And this may just be a trainer experiment that failed miserably. I don't know anything about breeding, but maybe this horse has turf breeding. I haven't the faintest idea.
Look at this horse, because from now on, don't spend any time with this type at all.
Yeah. This horse should, it's not an automatic. It's not a quickie, but you just, as you run your eyes down, you just sort of say, the horse hasn't done anything. It only shows one good race in its entire life, and is just, that's not to say the horse is impossible. These kind of horses occasionally may wake up and win or something, but you're really going to hurt yourself if you use this kind of horse very often. All right? Turn to the page, or I guess you don't, I don't know if you have to or not. Past.
I didn't hear any negatives. No negatives?
Okay, we make him a contender. Pace line.
Third bet.
Consensus.
31 January.
31 January, all right, I agree with you. Why can we go by those other two?
Well, contracts.
Not only that, the first one is $25,000 and it lost horribly. So it seemed that, and it did well on a stopping track at third on the 14th at $20,000 and it was claimed, so maybe $20,000 is his level. Mm-hmm.
You remember we did another horse just in the last race, and I don't remember the name of it since I did have my memory surgically removed, that I wouldn't go by two bad off-track races. La Cordonez. In this case, and the reason was, and I said on that horse, it never ran a step. It lost ground consistently throughout. Pass obviously doesn't like Gooey. But if you'll notice, although it can't get out, it has gains in both races. It shows at least one small gain. The horse was not terribly disgraced. The horse was alive in these races. It wasn't a contender. It doesn't like the goo. It doesn't like running on a sloppy track. And if this was a sloppy track today, that's enough to immediately eliminate the horse. But on a fast track, we can say, okay, the horse was in shape. He was in condition. So I'm not contradicting myself and saying you go by him one time and you don't go by him another. Each one is a unique animal and a unique pattern.
You made two gains in each of those bedrooms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other horse he threw out of this with the same bad finish lost continuously at every call. This one gained. So he was making moves. He was trying.
And this kind of...
Yes, sir.
The race that you're going back to, the 31st of January, is mm-hmm. that style of running doesn't fit his regular style.
Which one would you prefer?
I don't know what the variants are on that off-track. I would try to see what they are. I would probably go back to the second. Because it's at that class level, even though it's 11 lengths behind, see if the off-track really caused it to be 11 lengths.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you may have here is a horse that is partial to a mile and an eighth, because if you drop down to October 10th, it's almost an identical race to the one he ran on January 31st.
The horse,
you have evidence that you're a mile and an eighth, that is that horse.
Yeah.
He always has that style. Sometimes he just styles a little better. He always is a little bit closer as he moves toward the end when he's doing well.
Well, he didn't start much better.
Even in that mile eight, that's a particularly good start for this horse. But you can't. I don't think you can expect a perfect fit every time. Not every horse is going to be neat and tidy. And this horse. I felt that the January 31st line is the most representative of the horse recently on this surface. I think if you don't like that line, you're pretty much locked into, well, you can go back to the January 1st, but see, I'm not going to play with those numbers. I'm going to put those numbers in accurately. I'm not going to make any allowances, adjustments, or anything else for that. That horse, and I think you're sort of lying to your computer if you use either of those last two, because the horse just doesn't like that surface. And there's another sloppy race down there, by the way, on 27 September, that sort of confirms that belief. And you'll notice what it did the next time coming off a sloppy surface. I don't feel you're being unreasonable using that pace line.
No, but it's a very good observation.
It is. And no one made it yesterday, and it stopped me, because Howard talks about pace lines looming off the page, and this was a pace line that I didn't give a lot of thought to. To me, this is a, you know, zzz. Once I can get by those first two, and once I get by the first one, the second one is goose grease. So it's zip right back to January 31st. But you have made a good observation. But don't expect a perfect fit. And also don't expect the horses to be metronomes. They don't run every time the same way. I think this horse is showing something of an improvement. In the last, starting in November, November 16th, it shows a moderately good race, then a good race, then an awful one, and then a couple, then a good one, and then two on the slop. So the horse may be improving. I don't know. That's certainly not a dramatic sign of improvement. But
except for those two slop races, it is a metronome. It's a boom, 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 right. Boom. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's very much so. Yeah.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. Anyway, that was the line that I felt representative. You feel free to disagree with me. And again, feel free to take this race home with you and try your ideas and convince yourself that you're right or I'm right or that there is no absolute right. I don't know what the answer is if you go back and use any other line. But you're right. You have picked certainly the best start for this horse, the best early pace for this horse that's showing in its past performances. But it's also its most recent race on this surface. Anything else?
I'd just like to get your opinion on this thinking that I used when I needed another horse. I said I didn't really like this horse, so I didn't mind using the most recent race because I didn't think he was going to show up.
What's my opinion on it?
Yeah.
The decision you made is what you're living with, so I mean, there's nothing wrong with using that horse for that reason. It's wrong because it's just a winner of the race. I mean, I would have done this, if I didn't like this horse, I might have made him the fifth year horse and used that last year. I mean, I can't really argue with that conclusion because I often do the same thing. I had a horse to follow my feeling. Mm-hmm. In this case, you're kind of ignoring his obvious distaste for off resources.
Yeah. And you're looking at a horse that if you just erase the top two lines, is he a contender? Pretend those top two lines do not exist, and it is now February 14. Is that horse a contender? It's a nice dry track. So that's what we're telling you, is that the horse, since we have an excuse for it, that's exactly what you have to do. And you can't count that a layoff, because the horse was working, the horse was out there trying. Wasn't his fault it was raining. Time for silence.
Question mark. Over his head. He's all done.
It used to be, if you go back into August last year, it used to run pretty good than supporting $50,000 horses. Didn't win, really, though. I take it it got burned and kept going down and down, but got claimed in its last race. So I throw it in just for that reason. Plus,
I tossed the horse out on class. However, yesterday's discussion convinced me that I was incorrect in doing so. I should have tossed out probably Master Navajo and used Time for Silence. The reason being, not because this horse is much of a threat to win, because it just, again, put yourself in the position of a trainer. You have a horse running at essentially this distance, same track, at 12.5. It gets beaten by 3/4 of a length. Is it rational then to step it up two levels? Is that, well, it's, yeah, it's in jail, but why step it up two levels?
Yeah.
Is that a rational move? Is this trainer trying to win this race? Sure, this may be the reason that he puts it in here is simply to get it out of jail. Sure. Maybe pick up a piece of a purse, who knows, but it's,
you know. Well, you see him taking a tumble from the, like, the $80,000 level down to 12, but you think, well, maybe the horse is going to wrong with it, maybe this trainer saw it and thinks he can fix
right.
it.
Obviously, something happened in that 24 Del Mar race because they decided to sell the horse, which they did successfully for $25,000. It has since then been going straight downhill until it's practically to the bottom. They don't run very many $10,000 routes, so maybe this is the bottom. And it just hasn't really run elect much since. At 12.5, it's a competitive horse, but it hasn't won. This is a horse that has not won yet at 12.5, and we're stepping it up two levels. Those are pretty dramatic steps, almost double in price.
I think you hit it right on the head when you figured trying to get it out of jail. I think the horse he feels is coming in pretty good form, but not at 20,000. So run him, and then he can run him back in another 7 or 10 days.
Yeah, it could be. However, the reason I feel that I made a mistake in throwing it out, as Tom pointed out yesterday, is that this horse is going to be part of the pace of this race. And you want those horses in. I don't think the horse can finish, but I do think he can be out there. And again, part of this may have been the fact that I was not handicapping for this track. I was handicapping for another track that didn't exist anymore. And part of it was inexperience. I screwed up. I missed one. This horse should probably be in off the last line.
What's going to happen in a couple of moments is you're going to have an early pace figure for Trento. Then you're going to have an early pace figure for your next horse in the race. And you look at that and say, okay, Trento's going to be 7 lengths in front of my field. Set. Time for Silence sits in the middle of that 7 length gap or 6 length gap. You've got to make sure that you understand how this race develops. Time for Silence has no chance to win this race. What he's got a chance to do is maybe hurt the front end of the race for the first quarter mile, half mile.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to analyze that.
In effect, then contenders, you have to include horses that are going to influence the race as a contender, even though you sure he has no chance to win.
Yeah, you should. Okay, you should. What I'm going to say is it's crucial here in a route more so than a sprint.
Right.
It's really crucial. When I say contender now, I say contender with quotes around the word because it really isn't a contender in a race. But what it does is influence the description of the race.
Unless you're going to do it. A contender because it's going to influence the race rather than win the race.
You will.
It's going to influence your matchups. And unless you have this horse in here, you're probably made a mistake. And I made it too, so don't feel.
Probably not.
I don't expect him to go mile and eighth, but we know right now he can run. He can run a 46 1/2, and he can run a 111.3 6 furlong. We know that absolutely because he just did it. And if you'll match that up against Trento, looks pretty good. And Trento's an overpowering favorite. Yes, ma'am.
He's 7 years old though.
In the last
2 years, he's not won a race.
On March 19th, he ran a 46-1, 111.3, and maybe he didn't notice how old he was that day. In other words, we know he can do that. John Henry was winning when he was 9.
The fact that he's 7 years old won't influence the fact that he can run a half a mile. Because if he runs a half a mile and gets in front of Trento or pushes Trento, all of a sudden Trento's not the only speed at her.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
My matchup probably is not as valid as it should be. Luckily enough, I got away with it in this case. But because I didn't feel the horse had. And Tom's exactly right. This horse, let's see. Time for Silence was.
I bet he took the lead at the first quarter.
Was it definitely, was a half length in front, and then he was back one. I can't really make out how far back he was because I got a glitch in my copy there. But he was back about two or so at the second. So this horse figured in the pace. Luckily, he didn't figure as much as these numbers say he was. But I think that I should have used him. I think you get a more accurate picture of the matchup of the race if he's in there. Palomo. Yes? No? Maybe?
Who says maybe?
I said yes.
He said yes? More yeses than no's? Who says
no? Okay, why do you say no?
Well, looking at his past performances, and looking at his pluses and zeros, trouble lines, and his lack of wins, the only thing he's done is his maiden back 12 July 86. He hasn't been in the money. He's the second one back. Let's see if he came on the
It's the second
letter. Yeah. It just bothered me, though, these results.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.